Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and co-host. And we go immediately to the north of Israel. We welcome Lieutenant Colonel Reserve Sarit Zahavi, founder and president of ALMA, which is a nonprofit independent research education center we've come to rely upon. This is the north now. All of the headlines are about Gaza. Sarit, a very good day to you. The last time we talked, the incoming was fairly routine and predictable, but it could give you about 10 seconds for a shelter. I see no evidence of incoming today or in the last several days, but there have been reported IAF strikes in southern Lebanon. So somebody out there has bad intentions. What is the security of the north now? Good day to you, Sarit.
Hi, good day. I think the situation is much better than it used to be before the war. This is thanks to actually the IDF policy to enforce every movement of terrorists in the region, whether it's in South Lebanon or in southern Syria. We see the same policy there. Every day there are IDF attacks in those places, and they put a lot of difficulties on Hezbollah efforts to recover all the damages that it suffered from the war. And at the same time, there is a lot of political pressure from international community on the government of Lebanon to change direction. Hezbollah, from its part, is trying to recover, putting a lot of efforts with the Iranians, trying to bring cash into Lebanon in various creative ways. Sometimes they fail, sometimes they succeed.
So, Sarit, could you tell us what is happening along the border with the clashes between Syrian troops and Hezbollah, who kidnapped, I think, 3 soldiers and murdered them? Is this reflective of a broader struggle between them and Hezbollah trying to recreate its smuggling routes? Is it an attempt by the Syrians to assert control over the up to the border? How do you interpret this clash?
Yeah, precisely. Look, Ahmed al-Shara, which is actually al-Jolani, the leader of al-Qaeda in Syria, is not exactly a partner for Hezbollah. They fought throughout the years against each other, while al-Jolani was the leader, became the leader of the rebels, and Hezbollah was the ally who rescued Bashar many times, Bashar al-Assad, the previous president. What al-Jolani is trying to do now is to reunite Syria. That's why it also signed agreements with the Kurds there to disarm all other competitive factions in Syria. And part of this effort is closing the borders between Syria and Lebanon to smuggling. Now, I want to emphasize that the border between Syria and Lebanon, it doesn't look like a border. Like, you don't have barriers, you don't have a fence in most places, you don't have a wall. These are just mountains with some roads. Sometimes you have border crossings, like 6 border crossings, official border crossings, but you also have movement in areas which are unofficial. So it's a lot of effort to close those places. Now, where the riots took off, it's a key strategic area that Hezbollah fought for many years against ISIS in the past, against other rebels. It was a strategic point for Hezbollah for the smuggling routes of weapons and drugs all the way from Iran through Iraq and Syria, and then the weapons into Lebanon, the drugs into factories on this area, and then from there further to the south. So, yes, there are fightings that caused thousands of casualties on both sides. Part of that was the kidnapping that you mentioned, but I don't think it's the issue. The issue is the fact that both sides are willing to fight violently against each other, each of them to get its own interest. And eventually what we saw is the involvement of the Lebanese armed forces trying to defend Hezbollah in some point. And I think this is a problem.
Sarit, the last time we spoke, the people who live along the northern border were still reluctant to come back because of the security question. How many have returned? Are they? Is everything back to something like the pre-war level?
Yes. In the past 2 weeks, since the school year was open in the northern communities that were evacuated, and there were tons of efforts of many volunteers from across the country to assist the people that are coming back to clean the homes and the streets. We have between 40 to 70% that came back. It depends in which community. There are communities that suffered more damages, and there are many homes that people don't have a home to come back to because of the damages. There are communities which are based very, very close to the border, and there are many people who were afraid to come back. So it's between 40 to 70%. Within 2 weeks, I think this is very impressive. I can tell you that yesterday I traveled across the north and I saw the blooming of the trees, the fact that the farmers came back to cultivate the orchards. These are beautiful sights. And I told the people that I came with that this is how victory looks like. Wow. When you see all these trees are blooming, it was very positive sights to the future of northern Israel. That people truly believe that they can come back and prosper and rebuild with all the challenges that we still have. I don't ignore them, of course. But I truly saw hope yesterday when I was there.
The reunion between the Druze in Syria and the Druze in Israel, the fact that they went to visit, and the unrest that seems to be prevalent amongst all of the minority groups. We hear it certainly the Kurds, despite reports of a signed agreement from part of them, the Circassians, the Christians. What is the sense, your sense, of what is happening inside Syria and the ability of the government to assert control?
Look, it's too soon to assess. I don't know whether it will succeed. Syria is a very diverse country that suffered 15 years of a civil war. So on the one hand, people want stability and want to rest from wars and battles. And Jolani is working very, very hard to bring everybody together. But at the other hand, it is clear that he has an agenda, and this agenda is not democracy and not Western values. We should remember that just 2 weeks ago, he slaughtered at least 1,000, maybe more, of the Alawite population next to the seashore. These people who are loyal, still loyal to the previous government. And there were slaughters, including women and children, with really horrifying sights from over there. So this is not a new government that is going towards democracy or Western values. This is a government that is going towards radical Sunni Islam of Al-Qaeda. And this is something that we should bear in mind. And that's why minorities, each of them is doing their own calculation of what they can get if with reconciliation with this new government or fighting this new government. The Druze, since they are considered complete infidels in the eyes of these factions of Islam, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, I think this is how it seems like today, that they are not taking the risk. And they decided not to disarm. He wants to disarm all those factions. They decided not to disarm. Now we will wait and see whether he will accept some kind of autonomy among those places of those minorities, or we will continue to fight them. I truly don't know.
Sarit Sahabi, Lieutenant Colonel Reserve, the IDF, founder and president of ALMA, Malcolm Homeline.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.